Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.
Hello again, and welcome back to the Podcast of Steel. I am your host, Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel, and today's guest, an award-winning journalist, a TV and film critic, an all-round wonderful guy, Zaki Hassan. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks for having me.
I've been looking forward to this chat because I've got a few questions that will come out later on about a few amazing items in your collection that I'm just dying to know more about. But before we begin that, if you could please share your origin story with the audience, please, Zaki.
Well, I was born in Chicago, and I moved to Saudi Arabia when I was 3 years old, and I spent 10 years there, and then I moved back to the States. And the one consistent feature during that entire journey was my love of Superman. And I always say I was born at the exact right time to be a Superman fan, because when I was born, Christopher Reeve was just a fact of existence, that Superman. You could go to the grocery store and buy Superman peanut butter.
We didn't get that here in the UK. I was quite sad about that. I do have an empty jar in my collection. It doesn't look the best to go on the shelves of Steel, but I'm sad that I don't own an unopened bottle of Superman PB.
Yeah, it that's one of those very distinct memories of the lids with the Superman symbol on the top, you know. And when I was old enough to start reading was when John Byrne rebooted Superman.
Ooh.
And so, you know, I was at the right age for these key touchstones. And I always say I'm a Superman fan because of Christopher Reeve and because of John Byrne.
I mean, it's not a bad icons to have to send you on your Superman journey, even though, I mean, I'm not upset, but there are quite a few Batman statues behind you. It's okay. Sure. I can get over that because they are fantastic statues and a few books there that we will get into a little bit later on. So yeah, let's talk about a bit more about you then becoming this fantastic award-winning journalist, you know, and it's much like Clark Kent and Lois Lane. You've got a passion for journalism, which I adore.
You know, and this is absolutely true. You know, I started high school in fall of 93, which was when Lois and Clark started. And I joined my school newspaper during my sophomore year. And I did it because I loved watching Lois and Clark, and I loved that newspaper environment, you know. And so in a very, very real way, this is absolutely true. I am a journalist today because of Superman.
Oh. You know, I wasn't hoping for that answer. I secretly was, Zaki. So thank you for that, for making that dream come true. I mean, I don't think you can have a bad influence when it comes to Lois Lane or Superman or Clark Kent when it comes to their fantastic journalistic integrity. So, I mean, that's why, you know, that's why you are where you are now, Zaki, for that. But it's not just that. It's your love for entertainment. It's your love for Star Trek and Planet of the Apes that we will get into if you have time today. I would love to know more about you, because just reading a few sentences of your bios online, you've had a busy life, to say the least, Zaki. But if we could sort of tie it all down and pick out a few things, what are some of those things that you are most proud of, Zaki?
You know, this is the cliche answer, but my oldest son, he turned 18 this past Saturday.
Wow.
And I guess if there's something I feel like I can claim a little bit of credit for, I've raised an adult.
Well, there we go. Well done.
And he, you know, he just got his Eagle Scout in the Boy Scouts. And, you know, that's a rank that I didn't even realize only 4% of Scouts get.
No. I have heard of that. Now, we do have the Scouts here in the UK. We've got different sort of variations. I was part of the Air Scouts. There's a different sort of Cadet Scouts as well. But I know, is that correct? That sort of, I think you pretty much can't achieve a greater title than that award. Is that correct?
It's like maxing out. Yeah.
Does he reboot now? Does it go round? Does he prestige? What happens now?
I think the idea is, okay, you've been through the program, you've reached the terminal achievement, and now we sort of, the scouts say, hey, we've given you everything we can, now it's up to you to
Wow.
sort of be a decent person. And I have to, full disclosure, getting the kids through the scouts, that's been my wife's mission, and so really she gets the lion's share of the credit for that.
We'll give her that. I mean, yeah, you can still add that to your resume, though. I think you need to change a few bios online, at least 50%. But no, that is a fantastic accolade to have. So well done to your son and to you and the wife. Well done there for that. That's a big deal. But I mean, yeah, I think raising a human, that's a pretty up there, it's a big thing to do. It's a big qualification. Take that. Be proud of it.
I'll take a few threads of it. I'll take it.
Good, good. When it comes to the journalistic part of your life, though, how did that all begin for you?
Well, as I said, I started writing movie reviews during high school for my paper, and I enjoyed it. And then as soon as I got out of high school, I went to a community college in the Chicago suburbs, and I was doing movie reviews for them, and I became the editor of that section. And it was just something I enjoyed, and it was something I continued to learn from. And probably the most gratifying thing was the critic of one of the local Chicago papers attended a journalism workshop at my college, and I attended it just to cover the story. And he saw me and recognized me from my picture, and he said, "You're doing great work. You need to keep at it."
Wow.
And you talk about, and that was 25 years ago at this point. And you talk about something that's like, okay. Oh, am I on camera? Right? Is this a hidden camera show?
I'm being punked. Is this real?
And so that was definitely something where even after I stopped working for that paper, I created a web space and I would do reviews there. And it's just something that I've been very, very fortunate. I want to emphasize, I believe I'm okay at what I do, but I also believe that a lot of people have looked out for me. And that's, so I've had situations where somebody who knows me is like, oh, I need somebody, anybody who can do a review? Oh, I know a guy. And, I get roped in there. And then that leads to this other thing and leads to this other thing until, I get to write for the San Francisco Chronicle. And I'm getting recognized with awards. And I mean, truly, and this is, I promise, it's not fake humility. I've been very, very fortunate, and that's just the truth.
Well, that's good, but I mean, I am that great believer in the harder you work, the luckier you get, Zaki. So I mean, I know you've put in the mileage to be where you are today. When it comes to your review history, what's been one of the hardest films you've had to review?
Wow, that's a great question. Hardest in terms of having to like trying to sum up my reaction.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I would say it's off the top of my head, it's hard to think of a single film like that, but I would say in a more broad sense, the raves and the pans are the easiest because you've had this visceral reaction. Oh, I love this. I can't wait to tell everybody about it. Oh man, I hated this. I can't wait to tell everybody about it. It's the tweeners that are tough,
Good way of putting it,
because,
yes.
right? Because you're trying, like, it's the how do you spend 700 words saying eh? That being said, I wrote a negative review for Batman versus Superman 8 years ago, and I
Okay.
still take ungodly amounts of crap for that.
Yeah.
So that one has had a longer tail than I would have expected.
Which version of the film did you review? Was it the sort of
It
the
was
original cut or?
the theatrical cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say, by the way, I haven't revisited that movie a ton, but I would say overall I was probably too harsh on that movie
Okay.
I right before the Snyder cut of Justice League came out, I watched Man of Steel and I watched the extended cut of BBS and the Snyder's Justice League. I was like, no, this is good. This is a good trilogy.
I mean, it's one of those, you know, it's one of those bumpy roads that you can venture down. You can mention certain words online, and it's almost like Beetlejuice. Something might happen, or somebody might come out of the woodwork to share their opinions of it. But I mean, I think we can all find sort of good and bad parts about films. I've always tried to be as positive as I can with films, which isn't always easy. There are some films out there that, as you said, are absolute stinkers. No matter where, how you sort of, you can't find the good in some. We try and keep this podcast nice and positive, Zaki, but what films for you out there in the past you would never want to watch again, but maybe want to watch again just for the comedic value of how bad that film was?
Oh, man. Well, I'm fortunate because on my podcast, we do commentary tracks. And so oftentimes, I want to be clear, we don't select movies just to dunk on them. That's not our
good
approach.
That's nice.
Because I feel like there's a lot of podcasts that do that. Some of them are very good at it. I'm not a believer in that. But oftentimes we will get requests. Oh, can you do this? And it's a movie that I'm like, I don't know. All right, you know. And I go in with the mentality of, well, we're going to have some fun with this, but hopefully we can have a uplifting conversation and have, you know. And so we've ended up having, you know, just this past week, we did Street Fighter on our show, which is the, you know, the Van Damme movie from 30 years ago. And again, this is one of those, it's not a good movie, but it is fascinating in its own way. And it allows for these interesting conversations, you know.
I mean, there are some fun elements there too. I think, I want to say Kylie Minogue's in that film.
She is. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of, you know, like pop icon of many a year that is still going strong to this day. I can remember that part, but I think you can't go wrong with a Van Damme film, you know, but I mean, put him in Street Fighter, which is a film, you know, and a game franchise that's always going to be popular. I'm sure there's still more talks about that being remade time and time again, but
I suspect, yeah.
It could be up there. But again, that's it. When you sit down and you can watch a film with friends or on a podcast and sort of come up with your own little jokes about it or live commentary, there are always fun ways to do it. So that's maybe there is no such thing as a bad film, but just not the right audience for it.
I definitely agree with that. And one thing I've learned, and you know, my co-host on my show, Brian Hall, who, you know, he works in the industry, and I think just constitutionally, he's a positive guy. What we end up doing, even a film that again that is not great, we end up workshopping it as we're going, and we're like, well, maybe if they did this instead, and I find those conversations so uplifting and incisive, and I get different perspectives, and so you know, off the top of my head, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which again, it's you know,
yeah.
It has problems, you know, but it's worth watching. And I think there's good conversations to be had. And so, you know, to your point, I don't subscribe to just reflexive dunk culture. I don't find that particularly, there's so much negativity.
Yes.
You can have positive conversations about things that are not great without seeding the argument that, well, this is not great. You know, you don't have to be like, everything's great. No, there's things that are not good. But you can have a positive conversation.
And that's it. I think you can have that conversation with a few of the Superman films without mentioning too many bombs. We can talk about Quest for Peace. You know, there are certain elements of that film that were big hits and some misses. But I mean, people are going back now and watching these films again and sometimes watch them in a bit of a different light.
Yeah.
They forget about these films and sort of... sometimes the bad taste that they may leave in their mouth, but there's always some good.
And if I may, sorry, a key part of my origin story I neglected is the very first movie I saw in theaters was Superman 3.
Wow, see, that's not a bad one.
Yeah, and so honestly, I will always view that movie through the gauzy lens of a 4-year-old or 5-year-old, however old I was. And I will squint past the problems that movie has because I remember what it was like to be a little kid and watch Superman fighting Clark Kent and just having, you know, just being you know, blown out of my seat, you know.
I would love to see that particular Superman film on the big screen. The only sort of Christopher Reeve film that I have seen is Superman 78, and I've seen that a couple of times now. But it's something that always sort of eluded me. I was always going to be sort of out of town, or I was too far away from the cinema. And the first time I got to see Superman 78 on the big screen was in the Royal Albert Hall in London with a with a live orchestra. So I was truly spoilt the first time I got to see that film. And but even seeing it again, it's still got those magic elements that bring those goosebumps back. But yeah, the first film in the cinema being a Superman film, you are I think you're quite right. You are a lucky man. You're not a hard worker. You are, in fact, blessed with the good luck, Zaki. Fantastic.
Lucky.
So we've got the Batman there behind you. Let's talk a bit about your love for Batman as well. We can't ignore the big guy. When did that start for you?
Well, I grew up with the Adam West television series and reruns. So that was part of my just very, very formative experience. You know, that Super Friends. And of course, I was very lucky that I was 10 years old in 1989. And you talk about the perfect age to just have something imprint on your psyche. You know, I've said before that the logo from the 89 movie, not the symbol, but the logo of, that says Batman, I just see that and it makes me feel, you know, it makes me float a little bit.
Wow.
Very, very formative movie for me, you know, and for, I always say, look, Superman is number one for me always, but Batman is very close second. And there's folks who are like really hardcore one side or the other. I'm like, no, they're friends. They are friends with each other. So therefore we can like them both. That's the lesson. You know?
Yeah. Anyway, that's the end of the podcast, Zaki. Thanks so much for being a guest today. See you later. No, I'm joking. We can all like different things. That's what I love about this, though, is that, you know, you are going to get those diehard Superman, Batman, or DC and Marvel fans, or even Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat fans. Yeah, they're out there. And that's what I love about sometimes heated debates that don't often go too far into the realms of name-calling or insulting, which can...
Right.
quite easily happen online, as I'm sure you've seen over the years. This isn't your first rodeo, same as it's not mine. We've seen these Superman films and Batman films come and go. There's talk about superhero fatigue. That's something that's not a new term. That's been thrown about over the years as well. But we've got James Gunn's Superman film coming out this year, a few months away. What are your thoughts on that one, Zaki?
I just by chance, the last couple of days, my kids have been rewatching the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And so I was just kind of dipping in and out. And I happened to catch some of the third one yesterday. And I was watching it, and it gets to some real weighty emotional moments. And I was like, people are writing off James Gunn as this joke factory, and the films themselves don't demonstrate. They demonstrate a richness and an understanding of those characters. I trust James Gunn to do something exceptional with Superman. I have no reason to think that won't be the case. I think the timing is really opportune too. I think people want an old school idea of Superman. And this is, but I want to be clear, this is not in any way a critique of the last 10 years and you know the approach that they've been taking previously. But I think Superman should be bright and colorful and uplifting, and I think we're going to get that. So I'm based on what we see so far, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's been an exciting a few weeks since that trailer dropped, and we got that first image, and we've got that first sound of the new / old theme tune. Mm-hmm. Got that John Williams theme thrown in there for good measure. So it's going to be an emotional ride, I'm pretty sure. We've got hints of nostalgia. We've got big, colorful, bright comic-like suits, but you've got the element of James Gunn's storytelling that is going to add a bit more to it as well. So I've said this a few times, and I've heard it a few times as well. Is that the fact it's always a good time to be a Superman fan, but right now with the TV shows and the comics and the films that we're getting, you know, we're being rather spoiled, I feel. And I'm that is not a complaint. DC Comics, if you're listening, that is not a complaint.
Keep spoiling
us. Please give me all the Superman merchandise. I will buy it. You know, that's a given. But I mean, right now, yes, we are living in a fantastic time where there's so much Superman stuff around. What are you hoping? Now, this is a bit a preemptive, but what do you think your review is going to be like for this film before it comes out? I mean, that's quite a hard question to ask, but
yeah.
What are you hoping for your review to be like?
I'll say what I hope my review is that it not only reclaims Superman's place of preeminence in the sort of the broader vernacular of superheroes, you know, because it does feel like he's been kicked to the curb thanks to this guy behind me. You know, it's certainly in the Warner Brothers hierarchy, but also just in general, it's, you know, look, I've been around a while and feels like every couple years we get the, you know, does the world need a Superman, if you will? And I think we always need Superman. You know, you know, you're talking about the television shows. I mean, my gosh, the final season of Superman and Lois, to me, I watched that finale. I was in between classes. I had taught one class. I had another class in an hour. So I was like, I'm just going to sit here on my iPad and just watch the final episode. And my class comes in and I'm like, my eyes are red from having been crying, you know? But to me, here's a show about Superman as a husband and father. You can do that show. Here's a cartoon about Superman just starting out at the planet. You can do that. You know, these characters are elastic. And I think that's the beauty of it. My daughter, she's 7, almost 8. Her favorite Superman is Tyler Hoechlin. That's her Superman.
Not a bad one.
No, you know, she's like, Superman and Lois, my favorite Superman. I'm like, that's great. You know,
give her some more pocket money in the next couple of years. Just feed that. That's fantastic. But that's what I am loving about what we are seeing right now, is the fact that it is appealing to a wider audience. As you said, we've been around, we've heard buzz over the years. We've heard people talking, but the feedback that's come just out of this most recent trailer, the reactions that it's had and has had so many views around the world, and so many people are talking about it, which I love. When somebody wants to talk to me about Superman, I'm over the moon. But when it's somebody that I've not really talked to about that aspect of my life, it's a wonderful thing to say, oh, this is why I like Superman. This is why I'm excited. But I'm hoping that a new world of fans comes out because of this film. More kids, people wanting to get hope out of a movie, wanting to see a superhero do some good. I'm a big fan of Superman saving cats from trees and doing things like that. And I think we're going to get that in this film as well as lots more, which is why I'm happy to be talking about this film for many more months to come. And it's why I knew you'd be such a fantastic guest, but that's it. If you, though, you've seen many films over the years, many, many films. If you were writing your own Superman film, what sort of storyline would you like that to be based around? And what villains, apart from Lex, would you like to see?
Well, it feels, just based on what we see so far, that Gunn maybe hitting some of the bases. But one thing I've said all along is we know the origin. The origin is modern myth. We don't need to see it again. Same as with Batman, we don't need to see the ritual sacrifice of the Waynes yet again.
One more pearl necklace in the gutter. I've seen enough now. Please.
We've seen Krypton explode enough that I'm like, I think we get the gist of it. So I would drop us into a Superman who is in medias res. You know, he's been doing this thing. The world knows him. We know him. Let him be Superman. And I would, you know, it's a cliche, I guess, but let's get Brainiac finally. You know, if we're talking about the top tier villains, he's certainly up there. There are others. You know, this is one of my pet peeves. People are like, Superman's archenemy is Darkseid. And I'm like, no, Darkseid is DC's archenemy. He occasionally fights Superman. He's not a Superman villain. And this is sort of, I feel like that's become kind of like a Snyder cult talking point, and that's not accurate. It irks me if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good villain, but I think, yeah, you put it right. He's the villain of the whole area, not just one character. And I mean, yeah, Superman's got a lot of villains out there. Not as many as probably the Batman rogue gallery, as it were, but there are some ones that we would love to see taken on. And I think there's been some fan talk about Brainiac perhaps having something to do with this film.
And this new one.
I'm all for that. But what I've seen of Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor so far, I'm very, very excited to see. I've been a fan of Nicholas's work since About a Boy. He's done a lot of TV shows here in the UK as well that aren't necessarily DC friendly, but he's in a show called Skins over here, which was fantastic show. But again, I'm going off to see him in Nosferatu soon. I've not seen yet, but I mean,
I haven't seen.
But as villains go, I'm always happy to just to see Lex in his tower, looking out across Metropolis, and to have Superman just flying outside and you know, letting Lex know that he's there. And I think we're going to get that in this film. I'm looking forward to that relationship a bit more than I am than Lois's, I think. But I mean, I'm a big Lois fan too. She's been there since day one, just like Superman. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting year for Superman. And I'm looking forward to chatting with you more after that when the film comes out. Because
I'm looking forward to it too.
I know you're a comic fan, but not just any comic fan. This is something that I've been itching to know more about. There are some there behind you. Now, the way that you store your comic collection, it's exquisite to say the least. I think I saw a Superman collection of yours a few years ago, and I was just absolutely obsessed with it. How did this idea come about? Has it been done before? I've not seen it personally. Where you bound these comics so beautifully?
Yeah, so this is my custom bound collection, and I did not originate with me. I wish I could claim credit for it. I saw somebody post pictures of them online. You know, I was like, man, that's really interesting. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, well, you ruined your comics. I mean, what are you doing? You know, because if you bind your comics into a book, well, they are the furthest thing from mint condition. You know. Mm-hmm. And so initially that was the hurdle, and you know, and then I would see people post the pictures, and I was like, "This is really interesting." And there was this binder. I mean, the first time I did my binding was like 18 years ago, so it's been a minute. And there was an affordable place in Texas, you know, that I can't remember, but they were doing it pretty cheap. It was like $18 a volume, so it wasn't that much. I was like, let me try this. So I remember the very first book I had them do was Infinity Inc. You know, I had that bound into two volumes. And I was like, oh, this is nice, you know? And what happens, it's truly, it's staggeringly addictive. Because you're like, oh, man, that's nice. That looks nice. I got to do it. How about this? How about, you know? And what I found is it was actually the healthiest cure for my comic collecting, because what it did was really kind of put an endpoint on my collecting, because I looked at it in terms of, well, I want to create books. And so when it came to Superman, which I didn't end up doing my Superman collection until a couple of years later, I was like, well, what is a finite way to categorize my Superman collecting? And the idea I had was, how about Crisis to Crisis. And so I was like, starting with Man of Steel and then end with Just Before, 1 year later. And then just completely by chance, I had that idea. And my friend Michael Bailey, who I've become friends with since, he and Jeffrey Taylor started the podcast From Crisis to Crisis, which, again, I had the thought in my mind. And then they obviously, you know, great minds, et cetera, they came up with that idea. And at that point, I was like, the hell, I'm going to do this, you know. So I had the idea before they started the show. I executed after they started the show, and it was a great way of interfacing with my collection, because what you do is you get all the books out, you place them in a binding sequence, which for Superman, the majority of that run, that era, is the triangles. So that's easy, but you have to find, okay, what are the tie-ins and what are the one shots and how does this crossover? Do I need this whole crossover? All that stuff. And that's it. It makes it an active process. And what I did was, I did this with most of my DC books. I would remove back covers. I would remove ads, because for most DC books during that era, ads were double-sided.
Yeah.
So that's like, you know, you're reducing thickness, you know? And it just, it ended up being, you know, my Superman collection, I think it's like 28 volumes.
Oh.
And it's, again, it starts with Man of Steel, number one. It ends with the final issue of Adventures of Superman. And for me, the great thing about that was, again, it put an endpoint where I'm like, well, I don't need to go past this, right? Mm. Because I hung around the Superman books pretty steadily until New 52, and then I just dropped out.
Okay.
And not for dislike or anything, but I was just like, you know, I don't have time, et cetera. And I'm also like, you know, I got like 30 volumes of Superman. If I ever want to read Superman, I got it. So I did. And so in addition to that, I bound, the Smallville season 11 comic. I bound the Kal-El Superboy run. I've done that Superman Adventure. So I've done a few. So I got a decent chunk of Superman. Again, for me, it's like I've got my Superman if I ever want to read it.
That's it. And you can go to those ones and pull out a great big book.
Yeah.
Sit down. I'd like to see you in a rocking chair in front of an open fire. Nice little silk, maybe smoking jacket on. Just sitting.
Oh, you know it.
He's got the silk slippers on. He's ready to go. But it's a beautiful way to display the comics that mean so much to you. Don't get me wrong. I do love the look of a pristine long box.
No, absolutely.
It's beautifully subcategoried and it's got everything in the right, correct order. But the way that those books are displayed, you know, it's very Bruce Wayne. That's what I like about it.
It's
Bruce Wayne. And, you know, I can see Alfred there dusting off the sleeves and making them look even more pristine, but it's a fantastic way. So I'm going to have to start looking into that, I think. What's been some of your proudest moments of being a geek, as it were, over the years, Zaki? What have you been proud to be a part of?
Oh, well, I remember the death of Superman, you know, back in 92 when that all was going on. That was a fun moment because, like, it, you know, suddenly, you know, because as a comic fan, you're like, oh, they're going to kill Superman, really, for like 5 weeks, you know, like, you know, the score. But the rest of the world's like, God, they're killing Superman. and you get to be the guy on the inside and you're like, no, he'll be back.
Yeah.
But the great thing was everybody else realizing how awesome Superman is. And I was there. I was in the trenches every week reading Superman for years at that point. I was like, yeah, see, now you get it. You know, because in the lead up to the death of Superman, that was, you know, that was, in terms of comic books, Superman was at his lowest ebb in terms of cultural perception, mm-hmm. because that was at the peak of the Image boom. And, you know, Jim Lee had, you know, the X-Men run that he had just started, the X-Men number one, and McFarlane Spider-Man. I mean, you know, and again, all the hip stuff with the big guns and the pouches and whatnot, Superman is very low on the list of priorities. Like Batman was still, you know, Batman Returns came out that same summer. So Batman had a perception of coolness that Superman did not have. So, you know, there's a lot of cynicism about the death of Superman storyline. And I'm here to say, look, it did the job. Number one, it was a great story.
Yes.
The whole, you know, the death and return. It was great. It kept people coming back week to week. But it also did the job of really cementing why Superman matters, you know? So that was a great moment to be a fan. And then not DC related, but I would say Avengers Endgame when that movie came out and you had essentially the entire world lining up to be like, what's going to happen to Thanos? You know, like, all right, hey, we've been on the right side of this, you know, of the geek divide all this time, you know?
I think that's the thing is that over the years, geek and nerd, they've had sort of negative connotations, but now, you know, people come to us for movie advice or what to read or what, you know, comes with it. And geek isn't, definitely not a dirty word now, as it were.
Yeah.
Geek is that passionate outlet where you're not scared to talk about those things that you love. You can find your people, as it were, whether it be in school, college, or in an office, or around the world, talking with like-minded people. So that term to geek out, I love doing that. I love getting excited for something. And right now we're so fortunate to have so many different outlets to be excited for. Whether it be games, books, movies, and you know, there's so much out there. Funko Pops, there's a world for everything, and you know that's what we bring along as geeks. We are collectors, and I'd say I'm excited for this year's merchandise, but also just a little bit concerned. I think they're going to go heavy with the merch this year.
Yeah,
already seen like a lot of different T-shirts and hoodies from the the Warner Brothers shop that have, I think they've fallen into my basket. That's the best way of putting it. So yeah, I'm just waiting for those discount codes that they bring out every now and again, so I can just, you know, I won't feel as bad about buying so many different t-shirts. Well, what is going on with you, Seb? What exciting projects have you got going on right now?
Oh boy. Well, you know, I'm very fortunate. As I mentioned, I get to co-host the Movie Film Podcast with my friend and colleague Brian Hall, and we do commentary tracks every other week. We do review shows where we talk about new releases, and in the Superman category, we've done all four of the Christopher Reeve films. We've done commentaries. We did Man of Steel. We've done the pilot episode of Lois and Clark, which I consider one of my favorite Superman movies, which doesn't get mentioned very much, but I think no. That's a movie and it's good.
It was, and as montages go and setting up the scenes without having a huge origin story.
Yep.
It just hit that completely on the head. It was perfection.
It absolutely did. Yeah. And so I suspect we will be doing a commentary track for Superman Returns in the lead up to the new film, which I think will complete. I think that will be every live action Superman.
Wonderful. And that's it. And I think, especially with Superman Returns, one of those films as well that is always sometimes quite controversial online. But yeah, when going back, and I do go back and watch it quite frequently, there are some beautiful moments in that film. There are some moments that didn't quite land, as it were. But I mean, I'm a fan of whenever Superman is being Superman with Lois mm-hmm. Lane. And it's sure. in those quiet moments when he's often floating above the planet. And that particular Daily Planet in Superman Returns was a gorgeous,
oh yeah,
gorgeous look. And great. I mean, I'm sure, as you being being a journalist, you're excited to see how the Daily Planet will look in James Gunn's new film.
Oh anyway, yeah, that's going to be the some of my, you're not wrong. That's the stuff I'm most looking forward to.
It's, and I think James Gunn said recently in an interview, like, journalists are going to like this film because there was a lot of journalism in it. And I was like, well, that's good. It's a big part of Superman's life. He chose to be a journalist, to be able to deliver the truth when he's not being Superman. So I think, there's going to be a lot of journalistic nerds out there that are very, very happy about this film. So I will be looking forward to hearing your thoughts on that when it comes out. Where can people find you online before we start wrapping up this wonderful interview? So where are you?
Yeah. Well, I'm on social media at Zacky's Corner, Z-A-K-I-S Corner. I'm primarily at Blue Sky these days. I've made that my kind of home turf for now. But I'm also on Instagram and Threads, et cetera. You can read my reviews at the San Francisco Chronicle and IGN. I also write for The Wrap. And I'm always around.
Oh, I like it. Nice touch. I like that. All the links will be in this podcast for you, Zacky, as well. And finally, a question that I simply adore asking people. It's one that I've asked for many people over the years, and there is not a wrong answer to this question. But Zacky, what does Superman mean to you?
Superman is beast, and that's, you know, it's funny that you asked this, because within the last 2 weeks, I was in my little cave working, and my wife came in. She was kind of hanging out. She looked at my Superman wall, which is just off camera here, and she goes, "Why do you like Superman?" Now, bear in mind, we've been married for 20 plus years, so I'm like, "Well, I'm glad you got around to asking me that now." But what I said to her, I was like, "His superpower is decent. That's, he has the ability to do anything you can think of, and he, what does he do? He helps people." Hmm. That's, and you know, you mentioned him being a journalist. He helps people even when he's not being Superman. And to me, that's always been the lesson, is whatever gifts you have, we all have our things we can do. We can use those gifts to help other people and make a positive difference in people's life. That's always what Superman has meant to me. And that's why he'll always be my favorite.
Wonderful. Now, we've just got to work on that shelf behind you, Zacky. If we could film that one more time, word for word, we'll get some statues in. We'll put some more Superman merch behind you.
I know. Next time we talk, I gotta situate us so that you see my Superman wall, which is quite a bit more voluminous. You know, literally, like, I got Superman merch like right off camera here, and
It's fun. I'll let you off because that answer was beautiful. As I said, there is no wrong answer to that, but that was just truly superb. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing your reviews for more films this year, but definitely for James Gunn's Superman film. I'm looking forward to seeing what your thoughts are on that. And we'll get you back on the show talking about that as well soon, Zaki. So
I
thank
would
you.
love that.
Oh, I can't wait. As I said, I love talking about Superman and hearing people's thoughts about him as well. And I know you're going to have some fantastic opinions. So I look forward to that.
Thank you.
Zaki, thank you so much for your time. And we will speak very soon.
Thanks, Luke.